All right, we're in Bing World, and Eric, it's good to see you again.
Yes.
Everybody knows you. This is expert to expert.
Exactly.
We're trying to get formal here, but we'll not do that. Now, what are we doing today?
Well, we're going to kind of, you know, learn the kind of, you know, the secrets behind Bing. So,
excellent.
Yes. So, you know, so let's kind of, you know, go and...
Hi.
Hi.
Wow. Hi, Eric. It's good to see you.
Yeah.
Nice to be on Channel 9.
Yeah, can you tell a little bit about yourself to the Channel 9ers?
Sure. My name is Harry Shum. I run the Bing development team here in Microsoft. I came from the computer science background. I did my PhD in Carnegie Mellon. I specialized in computer vision. And later on, I joined the Microsoft Research for 11 years. I did a lot of research in computer vision, image understanding, machine learning, this kind of work. Last 5 years, I actually became more interested in the search, the problem. It's just fascinating to me. And 2.5 years ago, I joined the search product team. So I'm a lowly developer.
Yeah.
Oh, good. So we kind of both share kind of a background as a scientist and
right.
a researcher. So
right.
that's you know, and
yeah.
you know, it's like great that
yeah.
you know. I think that's the best thing that the kind of researcher can do is to apply their knowledge to kind of, you know,
right.
to solve real world problems.
Right.
Yeah. So like I think like Knut is a good example,
that's right?
Where he
yes.
kind of, you know, said,
yes.
okay, now I want to kind of solve this
right.
problem of, you know, text formatting and so on.
Right.
So. So talking about, like, you know, this big problem, so what is kind of the biggest problem that you see, kind of, you know, that fascinates you in,
yeah.
in search?
Yeah.
That kind of, that caught your attention that you moved from, you know,
right.
like vision to search.
Right. Yeah, I think search is really very fascinating. You know, as I mentioned to you, I used to be a researcher. One of the reasons I actually like search is search is actually a research problem. It's not like, you know, you can just define as the problem, then you solve that and call it done. You probably can never call this search problem done. I think we have many, many more years to really think about this search space. Even though, Google has existed for 12 years and people have been working on, you know, web search for, you know, 15 years and more, I really believe, you know, it's just the beginning of something truly exciting, you know, search. The reason I actually jumped into this search space and I became fascinated about it is really the breadth of the whole search space. In my view, I think the search today really covers pretty much the whole spectrum of computer science. If you think about the technology stack, you know what we study in search is really you start from the distributed system at the infrastructure level, then you move up, you know, to the data, then you move up to algorithm and the relevance and all those important things, and all the way to the very top of user experience, and not to mention about, you know, the computer science plus economics and all those fascinating space. So it's just it's a huge space where a lot of things we can do, and as a computer scientist and as a software developer, it's just a great place to be, and I never had a problem recruiting people, for instance, in Microsoft, and everyone wants to work on search.
Yeah, and I think you're right. It's like one of those things where everything seems to come together.
That's
yes,
right.
Where, like, you know, that everything touches there. So maybe we can kind of, you know, invert your kind
right.
of description, and, you know, can you walk us through what happens if I type in, you know, I like to do, you know, ego surfing, right?
Right?
When I type in clarifier,
yeah. Yeah.
And then I think, you know,
yeah. Or make sure your name is on top of.
Well, but it's not. It's like the Eric Meyer, the politician.
Yeah.
But so kind of, you know, what kind of happens when, you know,
right.
a user types in a search
right.
term, you know,
right.
can you walk us through the kind of stack?
That's a very good question, Eric. You know, it is really, you know, the essence of, you know, what search is about. Overall, you know, as an engineer, the way I really think about a search engine or a decision engine like a Bing, you know, really how we think about defining the product, they are really a few axes, you know, to really have a product, a good product. There's three aspects, you know, every day I think about. It's really the relevance, performance, and the user experience. Really, those three things. Needless to say, you know, a search engine is good. You know, it must have the relevance. You know, initially, you know, I think the problem is defined as the URL and the query matching. You know, someone, you know, goes to the white box and typing a few words as a query. Boom, this query then, you know, goes from the machine, you know, goes through the ISP, then eventually send out to the outer network, and then eventually hit, you know, the search engine company's data center, you know, within the data center, you know, the query, you know, bouncing around, you know, hitting a few more thousand machines, then eventually send it back, going through the edge network, coming back to that particular machine. So there's a lot of performance issues there, yeah, as well. You know, you want to get the search result as quickly as possible, such that, you know, you see something wrong, you can re-query, or you see some results you like, you click, and so forth. So relevance and the performance are definitely things very, very important. Then, you know, one particular area, you know, today I appreciate this opportunity to discuss with you about, you know, what's special about the Bing. There's a lot of things that, you know, about the user experience. That is really where, you know, we have, you know, think long and hard, and believe that, you know, Bing has taken a huge step ahead, you know, compared with, you know, our competitors, where we really think about, you know, how we get, you know, people to use the search engine more effectively to help them to achieve the tasks in their mind and to make them more, you know, effective in reach, you know, their decisions. So those three areas, how I think about search engines, about its relevance, performance, and the user experience.
So talking a little bit about the user experience. So when, you know, when the user types in a search term, like in some sense, you have to kind of figure out what is the intent of the user, right? So is there any math behind that? You know, about like, you know, how do you kind of understand what the user is kind of, you know, looking for?
Right. You know, one thing I did not say, you know, when I said the three areas, you know, the relevance, performance, user experience, and I should have also added that, you know, that to build a great search engine or decision engine, you really need to blend, you know, both the science part, you know, with the engineering.
Yes.
You know, you want to have very reliable service, 24/7, and you know, high, you know, and the reliability. At the same time, you want to get this thing the very accurate results. There are a lot of, you know, very difficult mathematics problems there. And let me start with the overall the scale problem.
Okay.
And when you think about that, you say, well, you know, how hard can that be? You know, you have a query, you have a lot of documents, and why don't we just say, you know, hit, you know, those documents and find something the most relevant? Well, you know what? Nowadays we're talking about the tens of billions of documents. And in order to even have a way to go through those documents, that itself is a problem, because you cannot really do the linear sorting kind of thing. And you have to say, wow, you know, how can I come up with the right structure where this inverts, you know, all this kind of index thing,
yes,
or there's some other, you know, clever, very clever data structure, you know, algorithms there that we can invent, and such that you can do those things very, very quickly. I think a lot of, you know, algorithm, you know, stuff, you know, needs to be there. And you ask the mathematics, there are tons of this mathematical stuff there already. Another way to think about the overall, the scale of those things out is really, you know, getting to the distributed system. And in order to even have a chance to, for a query to touch so many billions of documents, you cannot even fit those documents in one box.
Mm-hmm.
You have to really, you know, partition them into multiple different boxes. And in a way, you know how to hit those things. I think, you know, there's a lot of innovation just waiting to happen. And if you really think about the history of the overall, you know, search technology has evolved, I would challenge, you know, most of search companies have not really gone away from the original Alta Vista way of partitioning and doing the distributed system. Michael Barros kind of things, you know, is still there. You know, I think a lot of things should happen. And when we hit, you know, someday, say, you know, a trillion document index, you know, what's going to happen? How do we index those things? Fascinating. And then another area that is, you know, I'm personally very fond of, you know, tie back to my personal research, you know, background, is really about the machine learning.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have tons of data there, and how did you even try to understand that is the user intent, and there's all those nuance there, those subtlety, you know, how did you even, you know, categorize, you know, different kind of intent and disambiguate, you know, all those possibilities. I think, you know, you have to really get back to the data and train the right model, whether it's neural net or whether it's, you know, SVM type of stuff. So A lot of mathematics. I cannot even enumerate.
So, to kind of, you know, drill down a little bit into machine learning, because I find that very fascinating. So one of the things that when, like, you know, humans communicate, there's a lot of kind of interaction, right?
That's
so, like, you know, when I ask you a question, you say, oh, do you mean this or that?
Right.
So, do you see that, like, you know, that at some point we will also have a conversation with our computers when we're kind of searching for something that, you know, that there will be kind of, you know, the computer will ask me, you know, about what do you really mean, and learn that the next time it will find things, you know, faster or more kind of within my domain? Or
I think, you know, machine learning has been a field, you know, very active research field for the last, say, you know, 15, 20 years, if not longer. And of course, if you go back to 30 years earlier, you know, the artificial intelligence in the whole area, I think it's fascinating. When I was in graduate school, you know, AI was still very big. And I still think the idea of AI is a good one. I think, you know, we're just searching for different tools. Nowadays, of course, all those machine learning tools are becoming, you know, more and more powerful. I would say mostly thanks to, you know, the availability of the computing power today we have, and also the huge amount of data today we can accumulate. With this kind of web-scale data, we are able to really train the right model, and probably even more importantly, you know, train the more specific models using domain-specific knowledges. This is really one area I think, you know, many researchers, especially practitioners like myself, found, you know, most effective. And you also touched upon one question, that is, the, you know, what about the dialogue? You know, if the computers are becoming smarter and smarter, really the algorithms become smarter and smarter, you know, can we actually leverage this kind of capability? I think that is exactly the one of the major directions we actually push, you know, with Bing. You know, one thing, you know, I mentioned earlier about the overall, you know, the user experience, and we have been thinking very hard about the overall user interaction model. When people type, you know, a query, the person is telling us, you know, a little bit about the intent. Most likely, it is some task behind this particular query. Probably even more interestingly, if we have a click stream or we have multiple queries this person has just typed, then we can figure out even more things, you know, what's happening there. But the interesting thing is that, you know, we have one opportunity to show the whole page of the search results, you know, whether it's from the web or from news, from image, and all those things, present to the user. Say, you know what, we guess probably what you mean is about this. You know, why don't you now tell us by either clicking on one of the links or by looking at the different places in the shift of the page and the moving around, and then we can even provide more things to you. I think this is a, you know, big problem, what I call the overall search user interaction model. And the starting from the first page and the way the follow-on clicks, and how can we really help the user to understand, the, you know, even, you know, try to clarify what the user really meant. And specifically, I want to introduce you to a couple of features that on Bing today, you know, I hope, you know, people can discover. On the first search result page, we call the SERP. On the SERP, you could have this traditional way of, let's just call, you know, the traditional way of presenting the result, what we call the 10 blue links. Most of the search engines today actually show that. And it's good. You know, you could even come up with very relevant links, you know, among those 10 blue links, ideally the top three or even top one. But they may not present exactly what you are looking for. That's why, you know, we believe, you know, we should really go beyond a search engine to become a decision engine. It really provides the most relevant result. Now you look at a lot of popular search, now we actually come up with, you know, a lot of the official sites, a lot of deep links, you know, a lot of relevant information, like, say, if you search for FedEx, for instance. Why did you even search FedEx? Most likely you have some things you want to do with FedEx. What are those things? Well, you might be thinking about, I get my package lost. Where? What is the 800 number, customer service number, I can call them? Now you've searched Bing, you get those numbers, and you just say, well, you know, I pick this number, I call. Or very likely, after we actually analyze the query log, we realize that 70% of the users probably interested in how to track a package. If I have a package number, can I just track the package? So that's why if you search on Bing and we actually have this tracking number there right in front of you, you can type in this number, immediately hit the return, then you get this tracking information. So that is one way to really think about it, you know, where Bing can really help you, the decision engine can really help you. But even more interesting, then you look at other features we're developing right now, especially look at our UI. You know, now we introduce this thing called Explore Pane or Left Rail.
Yep.
And the left-hand side is the search result. We actually have this Explore Pane where we have three different things. Now we start with something we call Quick Tab or Table of Contents. And if you type with Chicago, and probably you mean the city of Chicago, then we have the attractions, we have the restaurants, and all those important things there. And kind of help you to verify your intent, say, oh, I'm going to Chicago, I like to see what's Chicago, you know, what's interesting in Chicago, or nightlife, for that matter of fact. So then, just right below that, we have related search, or what we call the query suggestions. What if people search Chicago, what other places they actually search for, or what kind of other interesting things happen in Chicago people recently search for. Then below that, then we also have search history, your personal history, that will help you to think about that. So all those things together, coming back to my meta point, is about the overall user interaction model. And help the Bing is going to help you to really think about, can we help you to narrow down your intent, or can we help you to expand your intent, or can we help you to verify your intent, all those things. So it's actually very exciting.
Yeah. So the interesting thing about, when you were talking about Chicago, so one of my favorite kind of search terms is ant, right? Because if you search for ant on Bing, the first thing you get is the insect ant. But, there's also a lot of ant that has to do with computer science and build systems and so on. But the funny thing is, on Bing, there's also Adam Ant. So there's also the artist. So that was kind of, very nice, where it kind of, gave you all the kind of, ants.
Absolutely.
So, and in your Chicago example, so
and what Chicago now if band, you... Yes, Chicago so, City. And
yes, so yes. How would the Chicago band then kind of, show up? Or imagine that I'm looking for the Chicago
That's
band.
Right. Yeah. This is a fascinating question, Eric, and I'm glad you asked that. It is one of the most interesting problems nowadays we continue to study, and if we look at... So you really get into a very interesting area, what we call the query disambiguation. And you have a query like Chicago, you query like ants. It does have distinctive meanings or concepts. That is exactly where we think of Bing, with current user interaction model, where we can help the users to really go beyond the temporal links or what I call the linear ranking of the results, get to the concept level or semantic level, really extract that. Say, well, if the query is Chicago, and do we understand enough about this query, from whatever document we can analyze, whatever query logs we have on the user clicks, we actually understand that there are two, very likely, two distinctive concepts there. One is called Chicago is a city, or Chicago is a band, or possibly it will be third one as well. And we actually getting very close to get this kind of distinctive concepts out. And it is one area that we think Bing will continue to delight our customers to show how much we can continue to understand the intent. Yeah.
Okay, and so to talk about intent, and again, you don't have to. I find this extremely fascinating. What kind of context? I mean, there's so much more context that you can, could take into account, right? Maybe your location, or you talked about the click streams, but there's you can infer the intent from many other things, and so do you kind of have. Do you do that? That you know where my location
Absolutely.
Is, and then kind of filter the results based on that?
Absolutely. So overall, I think, many people, not only just the people today working on search, just for a long, long time, if you look at, going back to the history of, say, people working on natural language, people working on AI in general, people have been really trying to get into this thing called understanding. This is something that in a long, long time ago, there's something, a system called WordNet. You take all the words around, in the world. Then you say, well, what's the relation between those things, right? And you think about that. And a while ago in Microsoft Research, we have a project called MindNet to say, well, getting to the concept level, how we can organize words knowledge. And an example say, well, there are different kind of animals, and there's different kind of birds. Is chicken a bird? well, chicken is a bird, you know, and why you have this relationship. So overall, you know, as we, you know, organize what's knowledge, you know, we can simplify the problem, you know, overly simplify, maybe say to two levels. One is at the entity level. You say, well, you have all those entities, you have people's names, place, this kind of stuff. Then you have a relationship. Mm-hmm. I said, you build those things, you know, you don't want to, you know, be overly complicated, but you know, as the computing power, you know, we have today, we have the ability to really build these kind of things, you know, on top of each other. I think this is one area that we, you know, see a lot of efforts going on, not just a few search engine companies, you know, not a few, you know, IT companies. There's a whole research community, you know, whether it's in the machine learning, whether it's in natural language or in search, you know, you go to conference like SIGIR, WWW, and you see they're really moving towards this direction of how we are going to, you know, organize the world's knowledge in a way, you know, we can actually serve the customers.
Yeah. So now we're kind of, you know, talking about like semantic web and things like that, right? So how do you kind of see that? It's like, you know, because you know, do you think that you can infer a lot of the semantic knowledge, or kind of, you know, do you see that people are going to tag their kind of, you know, their documents and their data with semantic knowledge to help you infer these relationships?
It's a very, very good question, Eric. It's a question that I every day I think about. In fact, I really think, you know, the semantic search is the future, you know, for search. And I actually gave a talk last year at the WWW World Wide Web Conference in 2008 in Beijing. I give a keynote there. The title of that talk is called The Semantic Search. But I do want to clarify one thing. When we say semantic search, of course the word semantic nowadays is a little bit overloaded. Mm-hmm. As a language person, you understand that, you know. I think, you know, Tim Berners-Lee and a lot of colleagues in the in our community have been, you know, championing the idea of a semantic web. That's one way, in my opinion, a very good way to get the semantics, how to organize the semantics. But as the practitioner in the industry, for myself, you know, we take a different approach, you know, more data-driven, you know, ground-up kind of approach. In my opinion, I think the whole, you know, semantic search, you know, eventually is really about, you know, three kinds of understanding problems. It's really about understanding the queries, understanding the documents, and understanding the users. And to put those things together, then we have a chance to really understand the user intent. After all, the search engine, you know, eventually is about, you know, finding the relevant information fast.
Yep.
That's it's all about. And the key is understanding the user intent. But the right way to go is really you have a lot of queries and you analyze the queries and you come up with clever mathematical algorithms, things like that. You understand enough about the query and you understand enough about the billions and billions document. And you also understand, you know, through a lot of interactions, you understand about the user intent, users as well, why this user is typing this particular series of queries, for instance. So those things, I think, you put together, eventually you will have, you know, you will also need to have this semantic understanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So talk about queries. There's also, I think, another interesting thing to kind of, you know, relate that to the user experience, is that I think, you know, the majority of users are not going to be able to write some kind of, you know, complicated predicate logic or whatever query, right? So you have to kind of, you know, do some kind of natural language processing or something in the query kind of, you know, parsing. Is that, you know?
Yeah, this is a very good question and another fascinating topic nowadays. Yeah. And we are a big believer of natural language technology. And we, as a company, Microsoft has always invested a huge amount of resources in natural language, and both in Microsoft Research and also in a number of different product groups. For search, I think natural language is really the key. That's really the reason that why we acquired the PowerSet.com, you know, last year. Mm-hmm. We're very pleased with the technology that we acquired from PowerSet, and you have you should be able to see a lot of features that are actually coming out of PowerSet today already on Bing. You will see even more, you know, exciting features using natural language technologies. So when you think about natural language technology, I would just say today where most natural language technology really shine are in two areas. One is really the front end, you know, what I call the natural language parser. So you have a query coming in, especially slightly longer query coming in, then can we get the entities? Can we understand the synonyms? Can we understand a lot of other things? And the other place is really using the natural language technology to build a natural language index of the existing documents such that you can really, you know, search even more accurately and more relevantly. That's those two areas I think, you know, natural language technology continue to play more and more significant role to improve search engine quality.
And in this same kind of vein, so how do you deal with kind of all these different languages, right? Because there's kind of documents and information, and I don't know how many languages there are on this planet. So, and that must be a kind of, you know, a fabulous problem too to solve.
It is a fabulous problem. You know, the beauty about natural language is that there is almost no constraint.
Yeah.
And the challenge of natural language is that it is no constraint. It's almost no constraint. But we know that's not true. We know, you know, over the years, you know, even in the development of human languages, you know, they are rules, they are grammars. You know, some languages have, you know, more stricter grammars than others. Of course, if we talk about computer languages, something you are an expert on, we have certainly designed the languages fairly rigorously. So natural language is different in that regard. And we have to be able to tolerate the kind of uncertainty. The good news about the search engine is that you don't have to get 100% right.
Yep.
And so, you know, that's why, you know, natural language technology actually is effective. Yeah. Long way to go, still a long way to go. Yep. We are just scratching the surface. Yeah.
All right. And so another thing that's kind of, you know, to go kind of back a little bit to the kind of context. Things that are kind of, you know, things that evolve kind of over time, you know, like with traffic or news or that kind of also have to deal with relevance.
Right.
Can you talk a little bit about that, how you kind of, you know, integrate that into kind of, you know, become more kind of, you know, relevant for the users?
Right. This is another, you know, question that every day we really think about that. You know, at the end of the day, we really think about that. You know, why do people use search engine? And, you know, they come here to get the most relevant and up-to-date news, instance, right? Today, you know, you get on internet, there are two, you know, very different modes. You know, you go to the internet and you think about, you know, getting information. One is this, of course, the browsing mode. You go to your portal, you say, you know what, I just don't want to think about, you know, whatever the editor gives to me, fantastic. You know, I always get my, you know, last minute, the sports news and the, whether it's my favorite team, is different story, you know, it's the latest one. And the other one is, of course, the search. You know, you say, well, I think about some terms, let me type in and do this kind of thing. So we recognize the different needs for the users. And that's why, you know, as we compose the results, you know, we want to surface on Bing. And we take those things into account. You know, the freshness you just mentioned about, for instance, diversity is another thing. You know, you have this screen space. You don't need to put the similar kind of content everywhere, diversity. You don't want to say the same news from different agencies. And they may be helpful sometimes. You know, most of the times, you know, they probably...
Yes, but often it's the case, right, that they're,
correct.
Different newspapers have exactly the same
text. That's right, they copy AP News. And, and you also have authorities. Now, you have different kind of dimensions there where you can do different things. But I do want to point out that, you know, right now, at this moment, I think, you know, real-time search is something fascinating to all of us, you know, working in search and even, you know, for other people as well. I point out to one simple fact that a couple of days ago, I just read this very nice blog article talking about there are at least 11 real-time search engines just popped up in the last month or so. And there are a lot of those real-time search engines. Very interesting user experience and those people have built and mostly because the phenomena called Twitter, people tweet and you're able to get the local up to the last minute news and so this is one particular area that I think is very interesting to all of us, and is where, you know, when you get to the tail queries, you know, let's just say, you know, my son's middle school, you know, swimming team, you know, what did they do last night? all those things that, you know, you need people using Twitter to report, you know, what happened last night, and otherwise you just don't get that in your index.
Yes.
So there are a lot of very interesting things going on that I'm personally fascinated about.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's like there's so much to do. So another thing is, let's go back to your kind of, you know, background, is kind of searching kind of, you know, things different than text, right? Like images, or maybe, you know, I kind of, you know, heard this song and kind of, you know, I want to find that. So, so can you tell a little bit, you know, how you do that?
I you mentioned about the image search, video search, music search, and all those things. You know, we typically call those things all together called multimedia search.
Okay.
And it is an area I personally worked on it, especially image, you know, image search and the video search type of research problems. And I think it's an area with huge potential. And for one, today you go to, you know, a lot of search engines, you type any queries, and you see more and more, you know, image and video content.
Yes.
And it definitely shows that, you know, this kind of content is very, very important. Not to mention that people specifically want to search for pictures and the video and the music. The other thing I think is technology-wise, is we are actually getting to a point that, you know, this kind of what we call the content-based analysis is becoming very, very interesting. Until now, by and large, even so, we search for image, video, and the music. And there's very little analysis about, say, image content, video content, or the sound content. It's mostly the search results are provided by analyzing what we call the surrounding text, and using very similar technology like the web search we have today. But things are really changing. You know, once again, you know, thanks to the huge amount of computing power we have today, and the clever algorithms we have. And today, for instance, you use Bing, you know, a very fun feature I really like, you know, and developed by, you know, the Bing team here jointly with Microsoft Research and in Beijing. There's a feature called Show Similar Images. If you go to Bing Image Search and you say, you know, type, say, Van Gogh, you know, you have beautiful Van Gogh pictures there. Then you look at the one picture and say, I'm actually interested in this sunflower picture. Yeah. Then you just look at that picture and you see a line there say show similar image. You click that, boom, you get all those beautiful, you know, sunflower-ish type of images that are all painted by Van Gogh. Yeah. It's very, very interesting, and there's a lot of technology behind that. And it's all about content analysis, analyzing all those Van Gogh pictures, you know, thousands of those similar images there to get this kind of search results. It's one step. It's not like, you know, any kind of picture we can search very well yet, but I think it's the one step in the huge direction there. It's multimedia search. It's something that, you know, I think Microsoft Bing is already very good, will be even better as we move on.
And about the user experience, so I noticed when you kind of search for images on Bing, they kind of show up on the kind of left in a kind of, you know, a very fascinating way.
Yeah.
So what is the kind of, you know, thinking behind that? I mean, it works, you know, very well, but you know, it's kind of quite novel, I think.
Right. I would say, you know, when you think about this kind of user experience, I would say multimedia search user experience is somewhat different from the traditional, you know, web search user experience. Simply because, you know, there's so much, you know, visually appealing content. You want to organize in a way, you know, actually it's easy for the consumer to consume. You know? So that's, I would say, you know, for multimedia content in particular, you know, categorization makes a lot of sense. And if you look at the Bing result today, we actually organize the image results, for instance, that by different features, whether by size, you know, the image size, that sounds like reasonably simple, or by say, well, you know, do you have people in the picture? You know, that you need to detect whether there's actually people there. And you can go even one step further, say, you know what, you know, I actually want a head and a shoulder instead of just a mugshot. So there are more things there, you know, by analyzing content that we can categorize the results and present to the users in a more friendly way.
And so, say, kind of, you know, to kind of, you know, talk a little bit more about like the non kind of document things, like, you know, like say I want to search for products, you know, or for travel and things like that. So there's also kind of, you know, a lot of kind of, you know, interesting technology behind that. Can you explain how that works?
Right. So they are actually one of really, I think, I hope you know, people getting to know by now, is one of the most important features we have in Bing is product search. There are a few, you know, very unique, you know, aspects for Bing product search. One is we really have a huge product catalog, you know, where any kind of product you search, particularly consumer electronics product search, you come to Bing and you are guaranteed to have satisfying user experience by finding stuff you are looking for. The other thing is really about user sentiment and the reviews. There are a lot of reviews now we aggregate and providing a very relevant way showing that if you want to buy this JVC camcorder and what kind of JVC camcorder you should look for. And there are a lot of people have this user-generated content reviews, and you analyze, aggregate the kind of user sentiment. 85% of people say this particular one is really good. And so this kind of sentiment extraction is actually fully automatic. You analyze the feedback. So we actually have a lot of cool technology there. So that's another important feature there. And there's one more feature I think people by now should have known is what we call the cashback. So we actually, together with a lot of merchants and really, help people say, if you want to buy something, Bing it. And then, together with the merchants, we actually give people discounts and the cashback. And I think if you have not used the cashback, you should sign up and get an account. And whatever you want to purchase next, it will be your opportunity.
Good. Charles, you had the question.
Yeah, I'm a question. Like, for example, in the topic of intention,
right?
What modern general purpose search engines don't seem to do is give the user the ability to provide hints up front.
Right.
So, for example, if I want to find out what's the most common organic molecule in the universe, it would be nice to be able to type something like astronomy colon, which would let you know that Charles is not interested in
anything else but specifically
this domain.
That's a great question. I think you are really pointing to one future direction for search. That is, the search engine got to be more interactive. It's not like you're coming in to this white box, as I said, and type a few things, hit a return, then boom, magically you get everything you're looking for. That never be enough. And I declare it never be enough. Coming back to my original point that this search is going to be a research problem. It's just too many possibilities there, and not to mention that the people are different, intents are different, and the technology is complex and all those things. So the right way to really think about that is the right user interaction model, where how can we design the right user interface such that users can interact with the search engine in a friendly and understandable way. I think that is where we are going. Whether we actually provide the macro type of things, so astronomy colon or side colon. Today, there are a lot of
side colon
and all those important things.
Yeah.
But I would just say for people like Charles, Eric, Harry, myself, and we are geeky. We actually say, wow, side colon, wow, cool, do it. But for most of the people, that's probably too much. Sure. I would just say we still have to think about that. It's a consumer product. How can we design the product in a way most of the consumers can use? But I think what you said is absolutely right. I think it's the future of the search engine product, and especially for us, being as a decision engine, is really a way to guide the users. How do they find the right content such that they can fulfill the task and so that they can make a decision?
And the other question I would have, and I've used this before as an argument with people back in the day when really nobody was using live search or whatever, they're like, the results aren't as good as Google or whatever. What I would say was, well, search engines get better. Yeah. The relevance increases the more they are used.
Yeah.
I want to find out, is that really true?
I think we have come a long way. I think the Bing search quality today is right up there with our competitors. I think people should send me email, let me know, whenever they actually found some search results that are not as good. And we take feedback very, very seriously. There's always room for improvements. As a computer scientist myself, we have to look at this problem, very mathematically and also very scientifically. We have metrics, we measure those metrics against our product against our major competitors, not only in the United States, but also internationally. We track those numbers very closely, And not only we look at the overall number, we look at those segments where, you know, the things really good, where things are really not very good. And we tackle those problems, you know, very rigorously. And there are always, you know, some areas that today some of our competitors are somewhat slightly better than us. We catch up, you know, there are also some areas that, you know, we believe we're better than, you know, a lot of competitors. Mm. And we also, you know, keep in mind that, you know, they can also catch up very quickly. It's a never-ending game. It's a long journey. And I think it was just the beginning of something
really
exciting.
It was Bing today that told me that the universe is very fond of ethanol and vinegar. So, I mean, definitely. And the Wolf from Alpha didn't tell me that. Yeah. That's where I was expecting it.
Yeah. I would just say, you know, for those of us working on those very difficult problems, we should have fun.
Exactly.
We should really have fun, and you know, whatever it takes, you know, let's have fun. Let's be it on.
Absolutely.
All right.
Well, hey, thank you for taking the time.
Thank you, guys.
It was fantastic.
Yeah,
thank
it's
you.
Great to meet you. Absolutely. And it's really fun to talk to you.
All right.
Yeah.
Great.
Nice job, Bear.
Okay. Well, I'll see you next time, man.
Absolutely.
All right.
Cheers. Thank you.
Yep. Bye bye.